श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट नंबर 41 एतेरुपद्रुतो नित्यं जीवलोक स्वभावजय न करोति हरे नूनं कथामृत निधो रतिं एते रूप वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. ट्रांसलेशन. बिकॉज द कंडीशन सोल इज ऑलवेज डिस्टर्ब बाय द बॉडिली नेसेसिटीज सच एज हंगर एंड थर्स्ट ही हैज वेरी लिटिल टाइम टू कल्टीवेट अटैचमेंट टू हियरिंग द नेक्टेरियन वर्ड्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड. पपोट. अनलेस वन इज एसोसिएटेड विद डिवोटीज ही कैनॉट कल्टीवेट कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस. Nirjan Bhajan, cultivating Krishna consciousness in a solitary place, is not possible for the neophyte, for he will be disturbed by the bodily necessities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Being so disturbed, one cannot cultivate Krishna consciousness. We therefore see that devotees known as Sahajiya, who make everything very easy, do not associate with advanced devotees. Such persons in the name of devotional activities are addicted to all kinds of sinful acts, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meat eating. There are also many so-called devotees passing themselves off as devotees while engaging in these sinful activities. In other words, one who is influenced by sinful activity cannot be accepted as a person in Krishna consciousness. A person addicted to sinful life cannot develop Krishna consciousness as indicated in this verse. Hare Krishna. So we'd like to welcome all the devotees and assembled guests for today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. One time Srila Prabhupada got a letter from his disciple who was constantly travelling on Sankirtan doing book distribution. So this devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that, "Prabhupada, when I go out for Sankirtan, it's so nice, it's so Krishna conscious. Living away from temple in natural surroundings, it's so easy to remember Krishna, the rounds are so nice. And when I come to temple, there are so many responsibilities, so much of tension, so much of anxiety. I don't remember Krishna so much as I remember Krishna when I am out of temple. So which way is good? Should I go always on distribution and remain out of association of devotees, or should I stay in temple?" So Srila Prabhupada said that our process is to absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness, to constantly think of Krishna. So when we take responsibility in Krishna consciousness in temple, many times due to various reasons, we might not be fully aware of Krishna. But the point that we are always in Krishna consciousness in temple, and because we are not able to remember Krishna, we will be always desperate for Krishna. We will always pray to Krishna that, "Krishna, I am trying to do this service for you. Somehow I am not able to do this service. Please help me to do this service." So by this way, you'll always think of Krishna and being absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So similarly, we can see today in purport, Srila Prabhupada is having the same point. Without association of devotees, what will happen is, you will not able to cultivate Krishna consciousness. One time one devotee, disciple of Prabhupada, while living in Vrindavan, he started associating with Babaji's. And being attracted by their Krishna Katha, he used to regularly come to Prabhupada and tell Prabhupada that they speak so nice Krishna Katha, better than ISKCON. So one time we had an audacity to come to Prabhupada and he asked Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, please give him permission that I will go to them and seek shelter of them." Prabhupada became angry and Prabhupada told him, "Yes, I have full permission that you go to hell." So then we saw later this devotee initially having little attraction towards the message of Krishna Katha spoken by these Babaji's of Vrindavan. Later, after some days, booked his ticket to US to meet his wife and forgot everything about Krishna consciousness. So therefore, leaving away association of devotees and trying to cultivate Krishna consciousness, higher aspects of Krishna consciousness without understanding the real mood, we might fall into pitfall which might lead us away from Krishna. So therefore, it is essential to know that association of devotees is must in Krishna consciousness, by which we can gradually progress to Krishna consciousness. So in today's lecture, in today's topic, we will be covering two various points. We will first discuss what is dharma, where dharma has taken shelter in Kali Yuga, and how Sahajism has evolved. Is it because of dharma or lack of dharma? In Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, there is a chapter which is entitled The Annihilation of Yadu Dynasty. So therein, Lord Krishna arranges personally that the whole Yadu dynasty be annihilated. So there are various reasons which acharyas give why Lord Krishna decided to annihilate his own dynasty. And one very important principle which the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states in one of the purports is that he says that Lord Krishna's departure and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lila has some parallel connections. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that after his departure, many people will claim to be his descendants and he will create havoc in his sampradaya. The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though before as a householder had two wives, never had a child. Because he knew, if the children will come, then children will claim that they have a legacy of the sampradaya. And tomorrow they might not follow and claim to be worshippers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or even may have equal worship as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and deviate the whole philosophy. Similarly, Lord Krishna, thinking in the same way, because at that time it is mentioned that some of the Yadu dynasty members, not being actually eternal liberated associate of the Lord, being some demigods, were having a kind of a familiarity feeling with Lord Krishna. As the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. So when they usually see Lord Krishna always, and because they had same features of Lord Krishna, had almost same opulence, so they felt Lord Krishna is equal to them. So Lord Krishna thought that many people, if they continue to stay, they will become a burden on earth. And Lord Krishna had already overridden the earth by the burden, had removed the burden of the earth by killing all the demons. So he wanted that before he leaves this planet, he should remove this burden also, so that these people later on cannot claim proprietorship as Yadavas, as being equal to Krishna and claim worship of Krishna. So, when Lord Krishna left this planet, so all these great sages assembled in Naimisharanya, they were performing great sacrifice for uplifting the humankind race in Kali Yuga. They were afraid that Kali Yuga might descend and the whole race of humans might degrade and there will be no dharma. And then we know that for their good fortune, they met Suta Goswami. So while asking various questions to Suta Goswami, the final question which they asked in the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, is that now that Lord Krishna has gone away from this earth planet, where dharma has taken shelter of? And then Suta Goswami dedicates the next chapter, second chapter, speaking on science of dharma. As you know, Srila Prabhupada always says that the definition of dharma is one's own constitutional position. As per varna or ashram, or as per one's dormant Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada often condemned the dictionary meaning of dharma or religion. That dictionary says dharma or religion means a kind of faith. But Prabhupada said faith can always change. Today we are following one dharma. Tomorrow we might get converted and have another dharma. But dharma is not faith. Dharma is dormant, inherent nature of every living entity. Today, you may claim to be Indian because you are born in India. But a person tomorrow may be born in Pakistan and may claim to be Pakistani. Prabhupada always say that an Indian might think of India and might fight against the Pakistanis on the battlefield and think of the Pakistanis and die and be born in Pakistan. To next life fight against India. So therefore, dharma cannot be changed. Dharma is not a faith. Dharma is actual dormant position of the living entity within his heart. So, generally, when we speak of dharma, we often come across an acquisition that why do people need dharma? Because dharma means so much of regulations, rules, so much of restriction. We want to live a free life, a life of freedom, without restriction. Dharma abides us, controls us. We don't want dharma. But actually by dharma, one actually gets freedom to practice human life properly. One time, one boy, was flying his kite. And while flying his kite along with his father, he started arguing with his father, "My dear father, the kite is going so high up in the sky. Why do we need this string? The string which is attached to the kite in my hands is kind of restricting the kite to go more high in the sky. So we should remove the string and let the kite go more and more high in the sky." So the father said that if you remove the string, then kite will not able to fly high, in fact it will come down. Nonetheless, the child could not agree with the father. So father then cut the string. And the child saw that the kite, when it was removed from the string, the kite actually came down and fell on the ground. Similarly, it may look like dharma is binding us, but because of dharma, we are able to have actual freedom. Once dharma is gone, what happens? Our kite of human life comes down. We degrade. We degrade in human life. So therefore, we should know that without dharma, human life becomes like a kind of animal life. As you know, in Mahabharata it is said that ahara nidra bhayamaitunam cha samanetat pashubhi naranam. Dharmo itesham adhipa visheso dharmena hina pashubhi samana. Without dharma, man becomes like an animal. Like a football. Football is free. But free to be what? To be kicked by everyone. So therefore, without dharma, man becomes like an animal. You have seen in human society today, without dharma, what has happened? You take a newspaper and read a newspaper, you will come to know that man has degraded to the level of animal. Nowadays, rampantly, we can see 3-4 weeks, so many children are committing murders, kidnapping. Why? Because they are not properly educated in spiritual education. They are more interested in watching media, films, and getting inspiration from them than they do all kinds of activities, even in an infant age. So without dharma, what happens? Human life degrades. In fact, it is said, human life becomes worse than animal without dharma. It is said that in Lucknow, there is one zoo. And in that zoo, there is an advertisement made that please come and watch the most dangerous animal in the zoo. So people flock in a large number to see all these animals, especially that most dangerous animal. And when they go through cage, they first see the deer, then they see the peacock, then they see cheetah, tiger, lion. Progressively they are going towards the most dangerous animal. And the last cage is the most dangerous animal. And in that cage there is a big mirror. So the person comes and sees his own face. So human being is the most dangerous animal when there is no dharma. So when we are talking about dharma now, there is kind of a misconception. People always say, dharma, what dharma has given us? Dharma is cause of so much of communal rights, is cause of so much of corruption, and so on and so forth. What dharma has given us? But we should know, Suta Goswami's definition of dharma is not what dharma we are seeing today. Suta Goswami says, Savai pumsan paro dharmo yato bhaktir adokshade ahetuki apratiyata yayatma suprasiddhi. Real dharma is that by which one develops devotional service to Lord Krishna. That's real dharma. Other dharmas which do not help us to achieve Krishna consciousness is all Kaitava dharma. And what is the characteristics of this dharma? Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayajita janayati asu vairagyam jnanam chad ahetukam. If you want to test any dharma, then you should know that any dharma should have two characteristics. A person following dharma should have these two characteristics. First, we should develop knowledge, and second, detachment. If he has knowledge and detachment, a follower has both these things, then he is following proper dharma. On the other hand, dharma sanushtita pumsan vishvaksena kathasuya nodpad yadi ratim shama evahi kevalam. That means any person doing any occupation, if that occupation doesn't help him to develop attraction to Krishna katha, develop attraction to Krishna, that occupation is shama evahi kevalam, useless occupation. So dharma means develop attraction to Krishna. That is dharma. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam right from the beginning kicks out kaitava dharma, false dharma. Dharma projita kaitava, nirmatsaranam satam. That means any kind of religion which cannot come to the point of developing attachment to Krishna, that has been kicked out on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is pure dharma, speaks on pure dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam says, dharma hi apavargasya nartho arthaya upakalpate, dharma ekantasya kamo labha yahi smita. That means, real dharma is that dharma which is meant for ultimate liberation and not for material gain. We can see today so-called dharmas, so many dharmas. What people are interested in this dharma? Material gain. And then use those material gain for sense gratification. But Srimad Bhagavatam says, real dharma is for ultimate liberation. Therefore, things are very clear. Srimad Bhagavatam says, real dharma is understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, religious principles or dharma, after Krishna's disappearance, have taken shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And how to understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. We should understand Srimad Bhagavatam by daily reciting Bhagavatam. Every day. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And how to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? In association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada in that verse of Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya mentions that here Bhagavatam doesn't refer only book Bhagavatam. Here Bhagavatam refers even person Bhagavat. So therefore in our life, both book Bhagavat, that is Bhagavatam as a book, and Bhagavatam as a person to guide us are essential. Otherwise what will lead us? Will lead to the category of surgeon, as Srila Prabhupada mentions. One who tries to do Krishna consciousness without association of devotees, without following actual dharma, will take to something cheap and not actual Krishna consciousness. Therefore Prabhupada called that sahaja means what? Something very cheap. Sahaj. Sahaj means cheap. So sahajas are those devotees who take things very cheaply. Krishna consciousness very cheaply. That means you practice devotional service without association of devotees. But we know scripture says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatri Vidin Vina Aikantiki Harir Bhakti Utpata Eva Kalpati. That means any devotional service without reference to Shastra, done alone without association of devotees, what will lead to? Disaster, havoc in Krishna consciousness. Therefore we can see that the sahajas have become such a dangerous cult that Srila Prabhupada, in his whole purport, even though there is no mention of sahaja in a translation, mentions about sahajism. Because Prabhupada is aware that sahajism can very easily creep in Krishna consciousness. A devotee might feel that I can practice Krishna consciousness alone, and in this way may lead to a deviant philosophy. We can see in our line of Gaudiya Sampradaya, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, even though he made sure that there was no one of his heir to claim his Sampradaya to be the son, to be his Sampradaya, still there was so much of deviation. So many people came who claimed to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and deviated the whole philosophy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to send Bhakti Vinod Thakur to again revive Krishna consciousness, the pioneer of Krishna consciousness movement. And when Bhakti Vinod Thakur came and preached, the most difficult task he had to face was sahajiyas. Because Bhakti Vinod Thakur was preaching to educated class of people, an educated class of people thought that Vaishnavism means sex religion. And to tell them that it's not like that, but actually Vaishnavism, the greatest religion, was a difficult task for Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He wrote so many books, he was completely against this sahajiyas. So we can see that a deviation from the path, that is no association of devotees, can lead to a deviant philosophy. In fact, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are various philosophies which came. Sutra Maharaj actually has written a book on this, known as Upper Sampradaya. There are 12, 13 Sampradayas which deviated Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy so much that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy got lost and Bhaktivinoda Thakur came. In fact, there was no chanting of Hare Krishna Mantra also. The simple thing of Hare Krishna Mantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, that also was lost. Or that was concocted. So we can see that it can lead to a serious mishap in the parampara. So therefore, acharyas always seek a point. Wherever needed, they come and condemn sahajiyas. In fact, one time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was with his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in Jagannath Puri, so because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a very erudite scholar, was very wonderfully speaking Bhagavatam, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to always keep his classes in his own house. And many eminent personalities used to come to hear Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta's Bhagavatam commentary were so powerful, people all over Jagannath Puri were influenced and used to come. Even so-called Babajis used to come to hear him. There was one such Babaji from Deviant Sampradaya, Upper Sampradaya. His name was Radha Raman Charan Babaji. And he was the top Babaji in Jagannath Puri at that time. He had so many disciples. But he had somehow got attraction to hear Bhaktisiddhanta. Because Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking nice Bhagavad Katha. But when he came and sat near Bhaktisiddhanta, the whole lecture Bhaktisiddhanta was delivering and he didn't see him at all. And this happened for days together. At last Radha Raman Charan Babaji, because he was so influential, so proud, he could not take it. He went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and complained, "Why does your son doesn't see me, even though I am sitting in his class and hearing him?" And Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned, "My son hates sahajiyas." Why? Because Radha Raman Charan Babaji, he started a new doctrine called as Sakhi Beki Vesh, in which he addresses one of his associates as Lalita Sakhi. He made a Lalita Sakhi and worshipped her. So Bhaktisiddhanta was saying that this is completely bogus. How can a mortal human being claim to be an eternal liberated associate of Lord Krishna? So we can see Bhaktisiddhanta completely against this philosophy of trying to approach Krishna directly. In fact, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu it is mentioned, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was teaching to all the students about grammar, and later on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to take initiation from Ishwarapuri, and then there was a great change in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were ecstatic symptoms manifesting in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually manifested the qualities of a devotee. All the devotees were happy in Navadvip to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their own dear, whom they always prayed that he should become devotee. He has become devotee of Lord Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since then, when he came to Navadvip, he regularly chanted the names of Krishna. And in ecstasy, he used to always fall down. So one of his regular items in the whole day was to go and teach in these classes to his students. But after coming from Gaya, things had changed for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even while explaining grammar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to what? Do? Explain everything in relationship with Krishna. The students got fired out. One time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started chanting gopis' names. And started speaking how the gopis' love for Krishna is the highest. One should worship Krishna in the mood of gopis. So one student got up and he rebuked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, said, "Why chanting gopis' name? Chant Krishna's name." And Gauranga Mahaprabhu became very angry. And it is mentioned in Chaitanya Bhagavat that was one of the reasons Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Because he knew people want to approach Krishna directly. They don't want to go via media of devotees. And he thought, if I live in Grihastha Ashram, people will not take me seriously. Therefore, I take sannyas and then preach the worship of gopis as the highest. Gopi bhartu pada kamalayor das das anudas. The mood of humble servant of Krishna and not just direct with Krishna. So this we can see that Lord Krishna's, one of the reasons which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says why he decided to put an end to the Yadu dynasty and why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and why our acharyas often criticized sahajiyas was the mainstream of sahajiyas were completely against Krishna consciousness. Second part of our lecture today will be how philosophically surges are different from real Krishna consciousness. There are various points which are mentioned in the Prabhupada books, but we'll have to take some 3-4 points and see how they are deviated so much from the main path. The first thing which a Sahaja says, or a Sahaja philosophy propagates, is direct worship of Krishna. There is nothing like mercy of devotee involved. One time Srila Prabhupada was met by his devotee, and he said, Prabhupada, I can see planets from, I can see people from different planets. I have a vision. And Prabhupada said, that's not so important. Then he asked Prabhupada, then told Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, before I met you, I got a dream that soon I am going to meet a sannyasi, and this sannyasi will be my guru. So Prabhupada became angry on him. And Prabhupada said, I don't require your dream to prove my bona fideness. Prabhupada said, I have 100% faith in the words of my spiritual master, and that's why I am bona fide. So we can see that parampara or mercy of devotees is an essential factor in a devotee's life. Srila Prabhupada never claimed himself to be directly in touch with Krishna. Prabhupada always said that it is mercy of my guru and his words I am following, therefore I am bona fide. So in this way we can see that we cannot approach Krishna directly, but only through devotees' association. It is said that in conditioned life, we are all in disease state. Nectar of Instruction states that we have the disease of jaundice. And because we are jaundice, we cannot naturally taste Krishna Katha. If we cannot take Krishna Katha naturally, how can we be attracted to Krishna? As Prabhupada was saying, that if we have no attraction to Krishna, if suddenly Krishna comes in front of us, what are we going to do? We can't do anything. So therefore, we need to know Krishna first, understand Krishna first, get taste in Krishna philosophy, Krishna's holy name, and then we have ability to approach Krishna. Once Shivaram Prabhu was mentioning in one of his Bhagavatam class that how if a diseased person is suffering and then out of mercy on him you give him paratha and spices, what will happen? That fellow is already suffering. He wants to eat paratha and spices, but now he is not capable of eating that. But even if you administer him paratha and spices, what will happen? He will relish. He will eat. But what will happen? That will deteriorate his condition. So better now take medicine. And when you are finished with your disease, then you can relish paratha and spices. So similarly, now in our disease state, directly jumping to Krishna Katha is like eating paratha and spices during disease state. We may think it's so good, it looks so nice, but we might confuse ourselves. And in fact, instead of going towards Krishna, we might go away from Krishna. So therefore, in neophyte stage, we should regularly chant Hare Krishna, associate with devotees, follow regulative principles, and gradually, by the process of devotional service, we will be purified, and then we will get a chance to meet Krishna face to face. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We cannot jump to Krishna Lila directly. So therefore, we can see Srimad Bhagavatam also. 10th canto. Krishna Lila is in 10th canto, not the first canto. First canto, what is there? The initial stage, Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj story. Then creation is described. Then different hellish planets. Then Lord Krishna's different incarnations. His relationship with devotees. And finally, after going through all these 9 cantos of understanding what actually Krishna consciousness is, then on 10th canto, we come to Krishna Lila. Even in Nectar of Instruction, the first verse is Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. That means we should control our vega, our urges. And the last verse is live in Radha Kund. But before that, Vacho Vegam Dena. What are the 6 principles which are against devotional service? What are the 6 principles favorable to devotional service? How one should associate with devotees? And so on and so forth. And at last, there is Radha Kund. So therefore, we should not jump directly, as sahajas do. Directly jump to Krishna. But our idea is, first devotee, and through devotee's mercy, then Krishna. The second point of sahaja philosophy is, they directly take to Raga Marga. That means, spontaneous loving attraction to Krishna, without following the Vaidhi Marga, or the Marga of principles of devotional service are rules and regulations. They have considered this as an obstacle, that let's directly worship Krishna in the mood of gopis or one of his associates, then to slowly, gradually go through Vairi Marg. But actually it's a gradual process, and slowly, slowly, by reaching such a way, you can genuinely develop raga. Srila Prabhupada often gives example that when a woman is married, on the first day, she cannot decide to have a child. She has to wait. She might cry loudly and beat her womb, but still the child won't come. If she faithfully serves her husband, in due course of time, because of that faith, the child will be produced. Similarly, the sages are trying to cry for Krishna on the first day. But what happens? No Krishna comes. Krishna will only come through Vaidhi Marga. In fact, Srila Prabhupada says that the sages crying washes away all the conclusions of revealed scriptures. So therefore there is no point of directly approaching the Raga Marga without following the Vaidhi Marga. It is said that our heart is like a crematorium, Smashan Ghat. And in Smashan Ghat, there is a kind of a music which is played sometimes by tantrics, by playing that music, all the ghosts are attracted. So it is said, in neophyte stage, our heart is like a crematorium. And we directly sing about Krishna, dance with Krishna, if you think all these things, what will happen? Instead of attracting Krishna, who will come? Ghosts like anarthas will come. So instead of our anarthas being removed, our anarthas will increase. So therefore, we cannot imitate. We cannot jump. Srila Prabhupada, while he was in Madras, he went to one life member's house. And these people, this elder couple, they were worshipping Lord Krishna's deity in home. And they considered Krishna to be like a child. As a sentiment they were developed. So when Prabhupada was there at their house, so they asked Prabhupada, we want to hear from you about the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada said, well, if you want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, you have to be qualified, you cannot jump directly. Prabhupada took all the philosophy, but some other did not agree. And they forced Prabhupada that we want to hear 10th canto from you, we are qualified. And Prabhupada said, you may be qualified, but I am not qualified. And this is Prabhupada avoided speaking on 10th canto. Because he saw the audience are not qualified. And they were directly trying to jump on the Raga Marga without following the Vaidhi Marga. The third point in Sahaja philosophy is that they try to imitate Krishna's pastime and not follow his teachings. That means they are trying to do Anukaran and not Anusaran. Anukaran means to imitate, and Anusaran means to follow the teachings, what the great people have taught us. Therefore we find, if you go to Vrindavan, because of following this kind of philosophy, sometimes you come across a man dressed as a woman, claiming to be gopi. Or suddenly if you are in Vrindavan, you might find a person dancing like a peacock. Why? Because they feel themselves now as peacock in Krishna Leela, or as a gopi in Krishna Leela. But that is not the point. The whole idea is we should follow in the teachings of Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that it's okay if you want to imitate Lord Krishna, but Lord Krishna is Gopi Janavallabh, that you like to imitate, but what about Girivaradhari? You don't want to imitate Girivaradhari. You don't want to imitate Lord Krishna lifting the Govardhan hill, but you want to imitate Krishna associating with the gopis, Gopi Janavallabh. So therefore we can see always Prabhupada heavy against Sahajayas. And because of following all this philosophy, the fourth point is, because they are always deviating from the main philosophy, they commit so many mistakes even in philosophical treatises. There are some minor mistakes which are actually very important, which we will discuss now, that how, because of not proper parampara, no proper association with devotees, to confine with devotees, they have deviated and sometimes even commit aparad to great souls in the past. For example, Srila Prabhupada mentions that some sages claim that Prakashananda Saraswati and Prabodhananda Saraswati are same. But they don't know that Prakashananda Saraswati was in Banaras. He was a Mayavadi initially. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Banaras. He converted Chaitanya Prakashanand Saraswati into a Vaishnava. And this is Prakashanand Saraswati. And Prabodhanand Saraswati was in South India. The brother of Venkata Bhat. And Prabodhanand Saraswati later became Acharya, became the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wrote so many books. Because there is no proper association, no proper guidance, so they claim that both are same. One more point they claim is based on the... Actually they commit a lot of offenses to many Vaishnavas. And especially in one case where they committed a Vaishnava apradha towards Jiva Goswami also. Like you know, when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were staying in Vrindavan, that time his scholar came, Rupa Narayan. And he wanted to debate and wanted to be Digvijay. So then when he came to Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, knowing that they both are very great scholars in Vedic scriptures, when he approached them and challenged them, Rupa and Sanatana thought it's useless to just debate with an ordinary materialistic person. So they didn't want to waste their time. So they said, what do you want? So you want, I want to debate with you. So I don't have time. I am interested in Krishna consciousness. So okay, sign this Vijay Patra. And they immediately signed. Because they had no respect or honor or pride, something like that. So they immediately signed and said, okay, we accept defeat. Because they are interested in Krishna consciousness. And more the person, this person goes away from them, the more they can engage directly in Krishna service. So this Rupa Narayan was going, and then he heard that there is one more person in Vrindavan who was also a powerful pandit, a scholar, and that was Jiva Goswami. So he approached Jiva Goswami and he told that now you debate with me, and if you cannot, then you sign this Vijay Patra as your uncles Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami have signed. They accepted defeat from me. I have defeated them. So Jiva Goswami became a little angry that he is criticizing Rupa and Sanatana. And then we know that how Jiva Goswami later thoroughly defeated Rupa Narayan. And this person had to flee away in shame. So this Sahajiyas, what they say is, Jiva Goswami was too much interested in honor. And therefore he debated. And therefore Rupa Goswami removed him from Vrindavan. But we know that how a Vaishnava is not interested in his own honor. A Vaishnava will see himself dishonored. But when he sees that when Lord is dishonored or his devotees are dishonored, he cannot stand. He will immediately react. So Jiva Goswami is actually not fighting for his own dishonor, but fighting for dishonor of Rupa and Sanatana. So they make a serious philosophical mistake here. Also, a big mistake they make is they try to tell a person's spiritual position right in a neophyte stage of the devotee. That is called a Siddha Pranali. We often see Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur criticizing the Siddha Pranali. When a person comes in Krishna consciousness, a person comes, takes shelter of such a guru, a Sahaja guru, and on the day of initiation is told that your position in the spiritual world is this gopi or that cowherd boy or this peacock or that cow, something like that. Bhaktisiddhanta was very heavy. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said that our Siddha Pranali is Trinadapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishnam. Amani na manadena kirtane sadhari. Our Siddha Pranali is to be humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, accepting no respect for oneself but giving all respect to others. And in this way, constantly chanting the holy name of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Prabhupada said that first follow Sarvapadi Vindur Muktam and then go to Siddha Pranali. Instead of becoming first, who are you, understanding who are you, whether you are Gopi or you are Sakha, first give up your already having material designation. Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam. So when you are fully, completely cleansed of this material designation, then you can think of your spiritual position. Till that time, you chant Hare Krishna and purify yourself. One more mistake they make, Sahajiyas, is that they overlap mellows, rasabhas. That means a devotee in one rasa and a devotee in another rasa, they combine together. In fact, they come to such a point that some Sahajiyas say that, like for example, there is one group of Sahajiyas known as Gaurang Nagaris, who claim Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or who worship Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in conjugal mood. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was strict sannyasi. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never even joked or laughed with a woman. What was the meaning of joking? If he walks on the road and he sees a woman coming in front of him, he'll immediately leave a way for him, her, to walk. He had so much of, there was so much of gap. He completely refused to associate with women also. But here, these Sahaja groups, they are claiming that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should worship in conjugal mood. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an enjoyer and we all enjoyed. Thus we can see there are so much of rampant problems just because one failed to associate with a genuine devotee and Krishna consciousness. So much so that different philosophies have come up. And these different philosophies have become weeds for the main tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement is like a tree. And all the different branches are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, this different sampradayas within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But all these different upper sampradayas, they are like weeds trying to crush the main tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, time in and time out, we see, so our acharyas completely against the philosophy of Sahajas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote so many books to defeat Sahajas. Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur, his main purpose, one of the main purpose was to defeat the Sahajas. Therefore, he was so bold, even when Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj's body was being to be claimed by so-called Babajis, he was so heavy against them. Why? Because he wanted to completely destroy the Sahajism. And Srila Prabhupada also. So therefore we can see that the only way out is to associate with devotees. It might look small, associating with devotees. Okay, tomorrow I will not associate with devotees, what's wrong? But actually it can lead to a deviant philosophy, a deviant sect. By the way, instead of becoming Krishna conscious, our path to hell will be wide open. So Prabhupada, even in this translation, even though it's mentioned that how, without association of devotees, one cannot naturally get attraction to Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada takes the opportunity to directly condemn and criticize the Sahajism. So therefore we should know that how association of devotees is very important in everyone's life. So before we end, a brief synopsis of what we spoke today. We initially saw that how Srila Prabhupada emphasized association of devotees more important than staying outside and doing Krishna consciousness outside. We saw how Lord Krishna, he tried to end the whole Yadu dynasty, and even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no descendant, had no child, because there was a fear that tomorrow people will claim to be proprietorship of the sampradaya and they might deviate, as Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur tells. And then we saw that how Lord Krishna, after having left, then Dharma has come through Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavat means book Bhagavat and person Bhagavat. And then we saw that how without a person Bhagavat, one may lead to a philosophy which is completely devoid of Krishna consciousness, which might create havoc in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own Hare Krishna mantra. And we saw how Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur was completely against it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sannyas, one of the main reasons, one of the reasons for his taking sannyas was to tell people that one cannot approach Krishna directly, but only through worshipping in the line of gopis. And then we discuss about various philosophical deviations. First is how Sahajas directly jump to Krishna without devotee's mercy. Second, they try to directly go to Raga Marga without Vedi Marga. Thirdly, they imitate Krishna's pastime and not follow his teachings. And fourth, that there are various mistakes in their philosophies they commit, that of saying Prakashananda is same as Prabodhananda, or the Siddha Pranali mantra, or worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in conjugal mood, and so on and so forth. And the whole idea is this one point: without association of devotees, cultivating Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Shyamanand Prabhu? Since we are late, we will not take any questions. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.